nothing, know what to do. Join together and then they'll be two. There are others all around, scattered throughout the town. Reach out and you will see your numbers swell to three. We can do it. Yes, we can. We can change things throughout the land. But we all must lend a hand. We can do it. Oh, yes, we can. Now together, you form a core. And you're eager to find some more. You start knocking on other doors. And before long, you're up to four. As your numbers begin to grow, you're expanding what you know. You're a movement when you reach five. And now watch by the FBI.
We can do it. Yes, we can. We can change things throughout the land. But we all must lend a hand. We can do it. Oh, yes, we can.
You may ask, what can one do when the problem seems so huge? Start to learn. When we all just get involved, we can do it.
We can do it.
Yes, we can.
We can change.
Listening to Thinking Out Loud here on WJUL Lowell 91.5 on your FM dial, and today I'm here with Pat Scanlon, who is going to be in charge of the recycling program at the Lowell Folk Festival this year. Lowell Folk Festival promises to be a really exciting event this year with, I don't know if it's bigger than ever, but it's the largest free folk festival in the country, as I understand it. And this year, the recycling is going to be bigger than ever. I understand we're planning on recycling the waste from every stage in the festival this year. Is that right, Pat?
That's correct. Yeah.
So what's entailed in this massive effort? Surely we can't just recycle anything that the vendors decide to throw out at us. We have some control over what the vendors are using in the way of utensils and
sticks
and things like
That's
that.
Talk
about that some?
Yeah, we had a meeting last night with the vendors, and we have their full cooperation this year, and as we did in the pilot last year for what they're generating. To go back, first I want to thank you for having me on the program. And leading off the program with a cut from my CD.
Nice
to do that.
We use a cut from your CD as the theme song for our Environmental Corner at 11:30 every Wednesday. But you happen to be here at 10 o'clock today, so we figured we'd use some of your music to start out the show here now as well. We used to always have a live interview at 10 o'clock here on Thinking Out Loud, but things have evolved a little differently so that we have some kind of live commentary about half the time at 10 o'clock, and sometimes, you know, in other weeks we have other kinds of things. So it's nice that you were able to come in here and talk with us today at 10. I guess at the 11:30 hour we'll be presenting the second half of a presentation that we started last week about Grupo Fénix, which is bringing alternative energy and other alternative, methods, and ecologically sound methods to Nicaragua, a desperately poor country where they're greatly welcomed. This week we're concentrating on the recycling program at the Lowell Folk Festival. Now, last year we had, how many was it? Three stages that we're cooperating?
Well, actually, we did a pilot last year. Maybe what would be best for your listeners is to go back to the beginning of this and walk through how we've gotten to where we are today. This would be the fourth year of actual involvement in the festival, and it's been a slow growth process over the last 4 years. The first year, I was asked to come by the National Park Service to take a look at all their facilities to see if I could give them some suggestions as to how to improve their recycling program. And as I was walking through all the facilities, the person I was with, who's head of maintenance, Ted Davis, said to me, "Oh, by the way, we also do the folk festival. Could you take a look at that?" Well, being a banjo player and an old-time folky, that was right up my alley, along with my 27 years of recycling. I was combining two of my loves. So the first year, what I did was I surveyed all the festivals on the East Coast, and some on the West Coast, and one arts festival in Colorado, to see exactly what they were doing in recycling. And what I found was that they weren't doing very much. There's a couple festivals that were the Croton, the Pete Seeger Festival, the Clearwater Festival.
Clearwater.
Right? They were probably doing the most, but even that just amounted to about 15% diversion of the waste that was being generated, and so a lot of the festivals weren't doing anything. Let me give you a little background. I've been in recycling for 27 years. Just a short resume, but there's a group in Massachusetts called Mass Recycle, which is a statewide recycling coalition. I founded Mass Recycle and was president for 3 years. It was on the board for 10. But I also was on the board of the National Recycling Coalition out of Washington for 5 years. And I've done a lot of different things in recycling. And one of the things that we're always looking for in the recycling arena, in the recycling community, so to speak, is the ability to move the recycling agenda forward just one little notch. If you look at recycling as being a tree with fruit on it, well, we've gotten a lot of the low-hanging fruit. Most communities have recycling availability, either curbside or drop-off, for your glass, your cans, your newspapers, those kinds of things. We look at that and say, well, okay, that's the low-hanging fruit. And we've gotten most of that. We can improve in those areas, but we've done pretty well. But as you go up that pyramid or go up that tree, the different things on that tree become more difficult. For instance, rugs, old computers, TV sets, old furniture, all the bicycles, those kinds of things. How do you recycle those things? And the thing that sits at the very top of that pyramid are what's known as special events, of which the Lowell Folk Festival falls into that category of special events. But we're talking about fairs, parades, any kind of community-based type of things. The Olympics, the Special Olympics, any of those kinds of things where you have football games. We have groups of people coming together, large groups of heterogeneous types of people coming together, and especially at something like the Lowell Folk Festival, because you have such a mix of people, such a mix of ethnic people and cultural diversity, all coming together to enjoy the music. 200,000 people come to this festival. And once I took a look at the festivals, once I took a look at the Lowell Folk Festival very closely, and I saw all the aspects that go into making this festival happen, and all the different people who are involved in this festival, and all the different aspects of it, I realized that this had the making of a national model for recycling. And if we were able to be successful in this type of environment with this type of program, then we could do it anywhere, literally anywhere. And we may not be able to do it exactly the way that it's being done here, but in other communities, they can certainly take bits and pieces of what we're doing and apply it to their community. So 4 years ago, one of the things I had to do before we did anything, before we even attempted to get a can out of the waste stream, was we had to find out what the waste stream was. So 4 years ago, and there's two ways of doing that. One way would be a waste audit, where we could go into the, and how a waste audit would work is that you would take all the waste generated from the festival, and you'd put it in a big pile, and then you'd cut that pile in half. Then you'd cut that pile in half and cut that in half. And you'd go down, I think it's like 11 times or something like that. And then you'd take that final one. And the whole time you're mixing this stuff up. And then you'd really separate everything out of that last pile. And you'd categorize it by weight as how much material and what types of material that you would have there. Well, we couldn't do that. You want to interrupt here for a second?
So you're kind of averaging the output of a given part of the festival over the whole period of time and seeing
exactly.
What kinds of stuff comes out. But that, you
right.
said you couldn't do that in this case?
Yeah, because we didn't have control over that kind of waste. And the way it was going, the disposal, there wasn't any way to do that. Well, there's another way to get that information, and that is to go to the source of the materials that are ending up in the trash can. In this case, because this is also a food festival, you have vendors. Well, 99% of what's ending up in those green drums, which are trash containers, came from the vendors. So what we could do is do a vendor audit to figure out what exactly is ending up in that trash can, plus look in the trash cans, which we did. So we went to every booth that was selling anything, food, merchandise, whatever the case may be, to find out exactly what they were selling. And had a little clipboard, and we wrote it all down. Then we went to verify that into the trash cans, do a little dumpster diving, as we call it, and to figure out what was there. Well, what we found out was that a large percentage of what was there, obviously it was food waste, because it's also a food festival for people who've been here. It's a wonderful food festival. But there was a lot of plastics. And when you looked at all the plastics, it was all polystyrene. Well, let me clarify. 95% was polystyrene. Now, polystyrene goes into clear plastic cups, plastic plates, your utensils, that your forks and knives and spoons. That's polystyrene. If you look at styrofoam plates and cups, guess what? It's polystyrene. So it's that type of plastic that just has gas pumped into it to get the fluffiness that has. So we were looking at one type of plastic as being a barrier to comprehensive recycling, which was our goal, what we were attempting to do.
Is it possible to recycle styrene?
It is, but that would take a special type of thing. I mean, that is being recycled, but most communities are not recycling it because of the amount of materials that you're getting and whatever. And plus, that material is contaminated with food products. So when you take, it's like newspaper or any kind of paper. A good example would be a pizza box. Now, a pizza box is great corrugated, but if it has pizza residue in there, the mills don't want it because it's contaminated.
I know our recycling center says, nope, you can't put it in the paper.
Right, exactly. And so that's the same kind of thing with the any kind of plastics that would have food residue. So, but in order to get over that, also looking at the festival, was the amount of control that they could exert upon the vendors. And that was one of the things that we did. And so so the first year we did the study to find out what was there. And we knew the beverage containers were there. We knew that the cans were there and the plastic bottles and that kind of thing. So the first year of the plan that we implemented, we collected beverage containers. And we did that throughout the festival, but it was really a pilot. And we did have some difficulties because containers didn't arrive on time. In fact, they didn't arrive to midnight of Friday night. So the first night we used cardboard boxes where we could and scrambled to do what we could do. But that year we collected 13,000 beverage containers. Now, not only did we collect them, but we sorted all those materials. On the corner of Kirk and French Streets, we have created a recycling center, and that center has grown each year in magnitude.
Last year it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, this year it would even be better, even be more impressive. So the first year, and what we've done is I've gotten some sponsors, and the first year we had the YWCA, which is the youth organization here in Lowell, and they have four youth organizations. They get to keep all the nickels and pennies. Working in conjunction with the Lowell Redemption Center, they are giving me a nickel for every deposit can, and they're giving me a penny for every non-deposit can, i.e. any cans that may come in from New Hampshire or other non-deposit states, and I get a penny for every PET water bottle. Now, those water bottles, the bottles that have, that's called PET, polyethylene terephthalate.
Number one, PETE, or whatever it is.
PET, right. And so I get a penny for each one of those. Well, the youth organization got to keep all the nickels and pennies, plus the sponsorship. I have Wheelabrator Technologies. Wheelabrator North Andover is the sponsor of the overall recycling center and the overall recycling program. So they gave $1,000 sponsorship to the Y. So the first year they got to keep the nickels and pennies, and they got $1,000. Last year we went festival wide with the beverage container collection and sorting program, of which we collected, just to be exact, 32,862 beverage containers. Let me repeat that number, 32,862.
If there were 200,000 people, that means a whole lot of people didn't drink anything.
And that's true. But the thing is that we captured in excess of 95%, and I'd almost venture to say almost 100% of all the beverage containers. But 95% is good. And this year we are targeting 100%, because the only beverage containers that we missed last year was those trash barrels that were outside of the pilot composting program, because we estimate about 5% of the cans still end up in the green barrels as opposed to the blue barrels. People just drop their food. And so anyway, that's getting more into the details than you're interested in, I'm sure. But we also initiated the pilot composting program last year. And so we took two stages, the Boarding House Park and John Street. And as you know, it's also a food festival. There are three major areas where food is being distributed: on Market Street, at City Hall Plaza, and at JFK, and also at Boarding House Park. So we took Boarding House Park, which is probably the largest of the three, over the weekend. And that was the pilot. So all the food waste. Now, let's go back to polystyrene as the problem, or as a problem in terms of making the waste as homogeneous as possible. What we did in that area last year was that all the vendors were banned from distributing any plastics with their food products. Right, so when you do that, what you have now is all biodegradable materials being generated by the attendees and by the food vendors. One of the sticking points was the utensils. Well, what are you going to do with the forks, knives, and spoons? Well, what we did was we provided free of charge to those vendors utensils, cutlery, that were made of cornstarch, were biodegradable, so that people were eating, and they function just, they feel just like regular plastic utensils, they function just like regular plastic utensils, and you eat your food perfectly with these things. But left on the plate, it's biodegradable. So now what you have is every attendee either will have a water bottle and a soda and biodegradable waste. So now when they throw this into the green trash can, let's call that a biodegradable can now, it's no longer trash. Now it's a usable, you know, now it still has to be inspected, but the vast majority of what's in that can now is not for disposal, it's for composting. So
I'm wondering about paper products. That is, the plates are no longer made out of styrene. I assume they were using some sort of paper. What about hot cups and things of that nature?
All paper. All paper. And a little bit of wax on those don't present a problem.
I'd always thought that most paper cups are largely the plastic, you know, very heavily lacquered with plastic these days.
That amount of when they are... that doesn't present a problem, because where we're sending this material is to AgriSource in Ipswich, and it's such a huge composting operation that a little bit of contamination such as that will not impact the final product at all. And so, but we try to keep that to a minimum. And so that's how we handle that.
Yeah. Now, a friend of mine was, I was telling about the recycling program here at the Lowell Folk Festival, and he was really impressed. But he said, you know, we've been doing that at the Common Ground Fair in Maine. And I said, well, I don't know. Maybe it must be over 100,000 people going to the Lowell Folk Festival. He says, well, that number is similar to what we have at the Common Ground Fair. Just we have ground rules for people coming in as well as vendors, that they just have to have make use of reusable containers or recyclable materials,
mm-hmm.
and there simply are no exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
The main difference that I see here is that this festival is one where anybody can come in without, there are no entry gates,
that's
nothing.
Correct.
Anybody can walk in, and people are going to bring things with them to the festival as well as buy them here.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle extraneous...
With the Common Ground Fair, I've been to the Common Ground Fair, and a woman by the name of B.J. Jones actually initiated and ran that program for years. In fact, B.J. just moved out to Colorado, so they have another coordinator there. Programs are similar in some ways. The numbers of people are drastically different in terms of the numbers of people that go. My understanding is that the number of people that go there are maybe up to 50,000, but it's much smaller. It's nothing like this. And you're right, the cultural and the ethnic mix are quite different. The people that are attracted to that, because at the festival that's run by the Organic Growers of Maine, so there's a different mindset of people coming to that festival and people who are attracted to that, you know. And can we do something? Is there someone outside?
Yes. Well, we could play some music now.
Yeah,
we can come back and talk in a minute.
Mientras navegues el mar y escuches tu palpitar, mientras el sol con su brillo se pose en lo azul, si es solo un día o son dos, te puedes sentir feliz. Piensa en los que no han podido gozar de esa luz. ¿Y quién te ha dicho que has venido al mundo para tener solo dicha en la vida? que luceritos de azules de tu lecho verás, que un beso quizás a dos en un baile tendrás. ¿Y quién ha dicho que tú podrás ver y escuchar el rugido del mar mientras le cantas? ¿Y quién ha dicho que tú podrás frutos comer y como escuche el motor mientras de turno tú estés? Piensa que en cualquier momento el reloj va a sonar. Mientras navegues el mar y escuches tu palpitar, mientras el sol con su brillo se pose en lo azul, disfruta de tu labor aunque sufras. Verás que pronto hallarás tu descanso. Eso no apague tu risa, eso no apague tu voz, para que todos se acerquen y canten un son. Es una suerte, cariño, poder disfrutar de este sol y este son aquí en La Habana. Y si hace falta podrás embarcarte otra vez y el Caribe te sople de frente. Trabajar con ardor, nuevas tierras gozar, y hasta un beso en un baile te pueden robar. Mientras navegues el mar, escuches tu palpitar, mientras el sol con su brillo se pose en lo azul.
We're back with Pat Scanlon talking about recycling and the Lowell Folk Festival. We were talking about the comparison between the Lowell Folk Festival and, say, the Common Ground Fair. And you're saying the Common Ground Fair in Maine is actually considerably smaller, and there's a more homogeneous crowd there. But isn't it in some ways comparable?
Well, if you look at the Common Ground Fair, I've been to the Common Ground Fair, and like I said, I know the person who coordinated that program. The Common Ground Fair is put on by the organic farm growers in the state of Maine, and so who you have there are a lot of environmental-type people. I mean, people who go to that fair have that kind of mindset when they come, so they're so they're easy to educate and inform about the program. They also do a lot more sorting than we're doing. With the numbers that we have, it would be virtually impossible to do the kind of sorting that they have. That festival as well is very conducive to people bringing picnic baskets because it's out in the country. Now they have a new site that's even more conducive to this. So a lot of people, when they come, bring your own food with them, which tends to have plastic straws, juice boxes, those kinds of things, even though they would like it to be more environmental. And
so even having an entry gate, they can't frisk everybody.
Exactly right. People coming in with these bags and things, and they, you know, so that. Having said that, they do an excellent job up there. They sort all the materials and whatever. We couldn't do that, and I don't want people sorting into the garbage, you know, in sense of the organics and those kinds of things. So what happens with us is, well, a couple of things. Well, we did the food vendors, as I said, were prohibited from distributing any plastics with their food last year. And what happens on the corner of Kirk and French Streets, we build a recycling center every year. So the first year, as it was also last year, we have a tent. Under the tent is a table, two tables actually, for sorting the beverage containers. And that's where the kids from the Y or other volunteers, very often families will come by that have kids, And they can jump in and sort a couple cans themselves. Everyone who participates in any way gets a button, and it says the Lowell Folk Festival recycling team with the recycling logo on it. And so we have a few hundred buttons to give away to on-site volunteers, especially kids that come by. And last year also, we had another tent that all the bags now that out of the green barrels that contain the compostable materials would be brought over. We still need to inspect that. We can't assume that what's in those barrels are all biodegradable. So it's put onto a table, and it's a specially designed table. And we have five people on the table with these little rakes. Now, I have the little rake in my hand, but obviously your listeners can't see it, but it's got a head on it of about 6 inches. It's a small gardening rake.
It looks just like the kind you would use to rake up leaves if you were a little kid.
Maybe if you were a little kid, because the head is only about 6 inches across on this. And what happens is people rake all the material on the table down to the other end, pulling out any contaminants that may be there. Now, what may be there? Well, any kind of plastic item that may be in there. Give you an example. Last year, the Filipino table gave out soy sauce and little plastic things. You know, that's
cups. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they were little bags of soy sauce. Well, what we found was that 80% of those soy sauce weren't never opened, so they were giving these out. And they were trying to, you know, participate in the program. They weren't thinking that soy sauce, those little packets. So we had to pull those soy sauce packets out. This year, they're going to have them in a tray. If someone wants the soy sauce, they'll take it. If they don't, it stays there. And thereby, we're going to cut down on the amount of soy sauce that's there.
But you aren't changing the way it's packaged by having a big container of soy sauce that people can just pour onto their food, right?
Exactly. If they want it, they can have it. If not, you know, and there's no alternative to that. But an alternative for the Greek booth was they gave out salad dressing in the plastic packets. This year, what they're going to do is they're going to have those containers that people can put the salad dressing right on their thing, so we're not going to have to deal with those little packets.
Little containers with pumps or something?
Right, exactly. So, and also there's some cans that would be in there, what we call migratory plastics last year that came in from other sources, the plastic cups from the other stages and whatever the case may be. So, but as the materials being everything else, that might represent 5% of what's on the table. Everything else gets raked to the end of the table. People aren't touching that. And when it gets to the end of the table, the city of Lowell DPW's packer truck, which is a regular trash truck with a bucket on the end that has a compaction blade there that puts everything in the truck, that sits at the end of the table. So everything gets raked right into the bucket of the packer truck. When the bucket's full, they just puts it into the truck, and then we have another empty bucket to fill in.
And it drives off to the place that's handling the organic.
Right. Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that. Now, this year, what we're doing, that was in the pilot of Boarding House Park and John Street. This year, we're going festival-wide with this. Now, one of the things we found last year was that some of the contamination that we found was coming from the food vendors themselves, because they would take the trays that they were cooking things in and that were contaminated and other things from their booths. And they were throwing them into the green barrels. Well, when they were dumped onto our table, not only did we get the stuff we wanted, but we got all their contaminated materials. Now, there's going to be two barrels in each of the food vendors. We find this as we go along. They're going to have a small blue barrel and a gray barrel at each booth. The gray barrel is for the waste that we don't want. And we had a meeting with them last night, and I explained to them that the aluminum tray that they cook the food in, we don't want, because that will have food residue baked onto the aluminum. But the aluminum foil that's on top of the food, that's clean. We can take that aluminum foil. We can take any cans, for instance, tomato cans come in what's known as number 10 cans, which are big cans. We can take those. Those are fine steel cans. We can take any kind of jar, plastic jar, which would be HDPE, high-density polyethylene, like a milk jug, that may contain syrup or water or whatever the case may be. That can all go in the blue container. Anything that they're drinking obviously goes in the blue container, and we're going to have that collect it separately. So only the stuff in the on the can side will we be receiving on the blue barrel and all the other waste. So we're cleaning up that, we're refining the cleaning of the waste stream itself. So now we're going festival-wide. Last year, we gave out 12,000 forks. Forks is a good way to determine how many meals you dealt with. So we gave out 12,000. We figured that they kept some of the forks, you know, were left over. So a good estimate there would be 10,000 forks. Well, that translates into 10,000 meals because everyone has a fork. They don't necessarily have a fork and a knife, but they will have a fork. We also did it by weighing a representative sample of what waste would be, which would be a paper plate, a napkin, maybe a chicken bone, some leftover rice, that kind of thing. Okay, what does that in a paper cup, whatever. But what would the average waste from an individual weigh? And we talked to some food providers, and the estimate was 5 ounces. So if you take, and we had 3,300 pounds, so if you take 3,300 pounds of this material that we took for composting divided by 5 ounces, guess what? You come up to about 10,000. So we're estimating that 10,000, the waste that we sent for composting last year was the waste that was generated by through 10,000 meals. This year we anticipate that festival-wide, we're going to be at 30 to 40,000 meals. The waste from those meals are going to be inspected and sent for composting. Now, all that material was sent to Ipswich, to AgriSource in Ipswich, and they were great, and they tended the pile, and they mixed it with some of their other materials, but our pile stayed separate the entire year. About a month ago, we went down. We brought down the city truck. We screened all the material that was there, and we put it in the trucks, and we brought it back to Lowell. So the city of Lowell was using it around their shrubbery, and the National Park Service is using it around their shrubbery, and we have a little pile left over. And what we're going to do is take that little pile and put it in little plastic bags, Ziploc bags, and hefty Ziploc bags. And we have a little sticker that's going to go on each one of those bags. Here's the write-up on the little sticker. So it says, it's in red, white, and blue. And so we're going to hand this out to attendees. And it says, put a little folk in your garden. And it says, that would be in red at the top of this little sticker. And then it says, this compost contains food and paper waste generated the pilot composting program at last year's Lowell Folk Festival. It is of the highest quality and will be a perfect soil amendment for your flower or vegetable garden. Last year, the festival recycling and composting program collected and sorted 33,000 beverage containers and sent 3,300 pounds of food and paper waste for composting. That is the equivalent food and paper waste from approximately 10,000 meals. This year, all the food and paper waste generated from throughout the entire festival will be composted. All the food vendors are only serving food on biodegradable paper plates, bowls, and cups. The utensils are all made of cornstarch and are also biodegradable. Then it says, please visit the Festival Recycling and Composting Center, corner of Kirk and French Streets. And let me give a little plug for the sponsors of this recycling program, because they're the ones that are making this happen. It's the Lowell National Historical Park Service, the Lowell Festival Foundation, the Lowell Department of Public Works, the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection, Wheelabrator North Andover, and also Wheelabrator Technology. Wheelabrator North Andover gave $5,000 as sponsorship, and Wheelabrator Technology provided the hats. So all my volunteers get shirts with the recycling team on the back, the volunteer shirts, but we also get hats that say Lowell Folk Festival Recycling Team on it. The Northeast Solid Waste Committee, which is made up of all the surrounding communities here, including Lowell now, that take their trash to Neswick, the trash energy facility in North Andover. So all the communities, they've all pitched in $3,500. We've got the National Association of Pet Resources, which is NAPCOR. They're providing a little bit of funding for the T-shirts and also for a tent. We've been able to buy a 20 by 10-foot tent for the composting area. So NAPCOR provided that. Of course, AgriSource and also Casella Waste Systems has just donated some money for the program as well. So those are the sponsors. And we're really looking forward to it. Right now I have about 130 volunteers going to be participating in this.
Who's been volunteering?
Well, one of the things, I look at this as being very educational. In fact, one of the things we didn't talk about was the educational booth. We've had education last year. As you know, Julie was there with her vermicomposting. We had some other information. This year, we've expanded the education booth. There will be a 15 by 15 foot tent there. Julie is still thinking about the vermicomposting, but I do want that and there. The Department of Environmental Protection will be there. Keep Lowell Beautiful will be there. The City of Lowell will have some information there. We will also have a video machine with a screen, and I have 12 different videotapes of all different things, the recycling and manufacturing of glass and of plastics and paper and all these kinds of things.
So you'll just rotate these tapes?
We're going to rotate these tapes throughout the festival. So anybody comes by, there will be a screen, and something will be on the screen. One of the things we have, which is kind of neat, is a PSAs from all over the country of different recycling and environmental messages, and we'll be playing that on a periodic basis too. If, for instance, the you ever see the ad of the Indian, and the Indian looks at
probably the most famous environmental ad in the
history. From EDF, Environmental Defense Fund, and looking in the tear comes out. We have that ad in there, and we have a number of different ads that are part of this program. So this is what we're doing. We're all set. We had a meeting with the vendors last night, and we're excited about doing this. But one of the things, get back to your question, and who are the volunteers? And being in the recycling community here in Massachusetts and looking at this as an educational opportunity, I've extended this and put out a call, actually, and to recycling professionals in the state. And many of which have responded. And so I'm going to have on the street with me at least 20 recycling professionals. These are recycling coordinators from different communities. These are recycling committees from different communities. For instance, the recycling committee representatives from North Andover and from Newton and will be there. We've got recycling coordinators from Lawrence and Newton, Plymouth, and a number of others that will be there as well. And so on the street, we'll have just a number of recycling. Now, the idea here is that they may not be able to implement the type of program that we're doing here in Lowell, but they will be able to see what we're doing and see that these kinds of programs are possible. And given the makeup of their community, they'll be able to go back to their community and utilize some of the types of things that we're doing here in Lowell in their community. At their local music series or their, you know, local gathering on the 4th of July or whatever the case may be. And that's how I look at this, is that we're trying to be the Johnny Appleseed of special event recycling, and people can learn from this. I got a call from Richmond, California 2 weeks ago. This is made up of 5 communities in California. The woman had me on the phone for an hour just quizzing me on what we're doing in Lowell. She had picked it up on the internet somehow, and all, you know, every aspect of the program she wanted to know about because she wanted to do something in Richmond, California. And if that's the type of thing that happens, you know, first of all, I'd like to take care of the communities here in Massachusetts, but if other communities are interested in participating in this kind of program, I mean, I'm an open book when it comes to giving out information on this, how it's done, and volunteer on it. It takes time to build this. I mean, here we are, the fourth year, and we're just getting to doing it festival wide. It's wise to do it slowly. You learn as you grow, but now there's no turning back. And our goal this year is 90%, and if we get the 95%, my ultimate goal is to divert 95% of the waste stream that's generated at this festival. And when you can take that from 200,000 people, the waste stream, that's a significant accomplishment, I think.
Speaking of the internet, if people want to find out more about this or they want to get in touch with you to ask, you know, how they could implement this for their festival, where can they go?
They can actually go to, well, I'll give you my telephone number. I prefer not to give my email address. But my telephone number is 978-475-1776. The Lowell Folk Festival's website, of which there is a little write-up on the recycling program, and that's the www.lowellfolkfestival.org. But you can certainly get to me through my telephone, and I would be glad to talk to anyone about if they're interested in implementing something in their community or whatever it is. I'd be glad to talk to them about what we're doing here.
Yeah, or if another major festival somewhere in the country, we're interested in copying what's going on here. Yeah. It'd be nice to be able to get some of the detailed procedures.
Yes. Well, let me tell you what I've done
available.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I've done there is I'm a member of the Folk Alliance, National Folk Alliance, and I've sent them an email on what we're doing and asking them to disseminate that amongst the folk community to the other festivals. There's two things that I have. One is on the web, they can go to the Andover Townsman, and it's a I forget the actual issue. It's an August issue. But if you go to Andover Townsman, and that they have the article from last year. They did a really nice article last year.
Goes into some detail on how things are being done.
Exactly. And then if they contact me by phone, I have a write-up that I will send out to people, which I've sent out to the Folk Alliance, both in the New England Folk Alliance and the National Folk Alliance, trying to get that information out to the greater folk community, so to speak.
And in some sense, this is really crucial work for the future of the world, because people are always getting together for entertainment events. And you said this is the top of that pyramid of difficulty.
Correct.
If we can solve this problem, then solving some of these others will be child's play,
right,
for some of the simpler problems. It's good of you to come and talk with us here. We've been talking with Pat Scanlon, who's the recycling coordinator for the Lowell Folk Festival, and this year the whole festival is going to be attempting to recycle 95% of what we get. I don't know are you expecting to reach that goal this year?
Well, I think a realistic goal this year, because we still have some things that, if you take away the breakdown, because that's outside of the festival, I think a realistic goal this year will be 90% diversion, giving a little leeway for improvement next year. And one of the things we want that we're not going to be able to achieve this year, because that's part of the plan for next year, is the private businesses, that they're still serving things, but they've been isolated in the area where they are, and so all the other material is going to be coming to us. So next year we'll be targeting them. We will talk to them this year and ask them to participate in some respects, but so we still have room to grow. But if we can achieve a 90% diversion rate, that's better than, especially a festival like this. It's quite unique.
Yeah. Well, we wish you luck on this. You're listening to Thinking Out Loud on WJUL. Hello. And we'll be back.